95. What the heck? The case study from James Bubba Wilson, athletic trainer for Memorial Hermann. And once again, we are at the Memorial Hermann Ironman Sports Medicine Institute's 13th annual sports medicine update. And again, we're thanking Bob Marley and his team for letting us record all the sessions, interview all the guests. Again, we are live almost every single Wednesday during the school year. That's when I'm doing them live there at the school with my students. But we're going to be working on the summer editions for a while. So I just finished the first day worth of recording. We got one more after Bubba to finish up the first day. So then I have to edit and do all the second day recordings coming up after this. Summer's quickly coming to an end here. I got about a week and a half left. So hopefully I can get those knocked out. But here on the Sports Medicine Broadcast, we're definitely looking for guests, for people to interact with us, for people to interact during the live show. The live show is going to be where we're going to be offering CEUs coming up in September. Once we start back again with the live presentations, we'll be offering the CEUs for those, because they'll be recorded and all that other stuff. So I believe we have everything straightened out. So again, this is Jeremy Jackson for the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We want to thank Morgan Wilson for letting us use her music. And that's Bubba Wilson's daughter. So the guy you're hearing here, this is his daughter that is letting us use her music for the intro and outro and all that other stuff. So again, Twitter, PHS Sports Med, hashtag TheSMB, Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Trainers, Google Plus is Sports Medicine Broadcast. So you can find us in a ton of different ways, but the easiest way is going to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. On the right-hand side, it says View on iTunes. Make sure you rate it there, or rate it wherever you are listening to it, so that other people can find it. And leave comments. If you leave comments and I see them, then I'll read them here on the air. As long as they're not derogatory or something like that, that's going to get me in trouble. So please feel free to contact, leave comments, good, bad, whatever, and we'll go from there.
I'm pretty sure most everybody in the room knows the next speaker. He's a Baylor grad. He's one of our outreach athletic trainers. And for most of you who read his bio, he's involved in just about every athletic trainer association known to man. If he's not writing a test, he's reading something or doing some kind of office or something like that. But this is Bob Wilson. Okay, it's on. Thanks, Dan. I'll leave you out of my thoughts with you. All right, so this is a case report that happened earlier this year. I think it's pretty interesting, not because I was involved with it, but realistically it's pretty cool. So we're just going to jump right in. It actually fits in a little bit with one of the thoughts earlier. So the beginning, August 9th, I'll never forget it, secondhand pads at a private school. Get a phone call from the coach. Now, I'm almost to winning Texas. I'm on my way to Beaumont. And he's a real good guy. A lot of times he'll call me and say, hey, where are you? And I'll say, hey, I'm over here. He goes, can you stop by? And I'll say, yeah, I'm real far away. He'll go, can you come by tomorrow? We had this angel in his voice. He's like, can you turn around and come here? And I'm like, that's not him. Something's not right already. So I said, what's going on? 16-year-old male football player, Nate Tappett, all right? Complained of some blurry vision, didn't. And I said, you know, well, is he all right? Is he stable? Does he need to go, you know, do we need to call 911? He goes, no, he's coherent, he's stable, he's got a good pulse, but something doesn't make sense. And you know, this coach isn't this panicker, so I said, all right, let me turn around, I'll set the land speed record down I-10 in the subway, and let's see what's going on.
His talk would be pretty cool. It's like, hear stories.
So I'm thinking as I go, okay, he's probably got a concussion, maybe he's dehydrated. Again, second day pass. So I get there and I walk in the room where he's at. He's in no distress. He's sitting up. Mom and dad are standing there waiting on me. The head coach is standing there waiting on me. The others are all kind of talking casually. But he's got this kind of facial drop on his left side. So I'm going, my first thought at that point was stroke. But he's now kind of tingling on my left trap. And I'm like, well, you know, you're 16. You can't have a stroke. That just doesn't make sense. But, let's go through this. So I said, all right, it's time to do the fast. You know, we got to do the fast evaluation for a stroke. So remember, that's face. We want it symmetrical. Well, he's not symmetrical. All right? Arms, you want to be able to hold their arms up. He could do that. He had good strength. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Speech, he could talk and I could understand him. And time. Well, is time really, time is of the essence for treatment, but time at that point didn't matter. So if you look at it for that, let's go through it. He had the droop, all right? He could smile. It's not symmetrical, but he could raise that side. We could raise, again, raise both arms, we could hold him up. Okay? He could talk, I can understand him. Time, the next question. Again, 25 or 33%, depending on how you look at it, if you take time out of it, 33% of the symptoms of FAST. He's 16 years old. It's got to be something else. All right? So now I'm thinking he's got some kind of cranial bleed. Well, his pupils are equal or active. He can talk. He's coherent. And you know, it can't be that. So now I'm starting to panic internally a little bit. And you have a tumor. I'm going, it can't be a tumor. I'm not going to do the Arnold Schwarzenegger rules. You know, it can't be a tumor. The symptoms came on too fast. So it's Leslie Phillips. Let's talk about what exactly happened. Playing defense, makes a tackle, gets up, and says, Coach, I'm kind of dizzy. Coach put him on the bench to get a drink. What's he going to do? He says, nah, you know, dizzy, little blurry vision. And so Coach, you know, took him in and called me. So I don't have a kid at this point. I was handing out or delivering calendars for those of you who get them. My truck was full. It's like my dad now who got a ticket for not having a fishing license. I don't leave without my kit in the truck after this. Okay? So no cough, no stethoscope, none of that. The C-spine exam is normal. Okay? The abbreviated concussion eval is normal. All, you know, his upper extremity strength is 4 out of 5. That's good. Lower extremity is 5 out of 5. I don't know what's going on. I tell him, I have no clue. Honestly, I don't know. This doesn't add up. 2 and 2 is 111 at this point. I mean, I'm in the back of my mind, I'm going, oh God, what's going to happen, you know? So, tell mom, I said, he needs to be evaluated. I said, I can't tell you where to take him. He's not my kid. He's in no distress. And she says, where do we go? I said, let's take him to the ER. I said, let me help him. Let me call ahead. We can expedite him. I said, no, two reasons. We'll expedite him. And number two, if something weird is going on, it's an easy transfer to the medical center if he needs a higher level of care. I said, no. If something weird's really going on, I want you to sign some paperwork so I can have access to his medical records and publish it. And I was joking. Little did I know I was going to be standing up here talking about this. So I call ahead, and they're waiting on him to go. All right? So they take off. Get the emergency room. By this time, he's complaining of blurred vision, dizziness, this numbness, and tingling on his left side. CT scan is normal. Blood work comes back that he's dehydrated. Well, okay, no kidding. Second day of pads, they're all dehydrated. So all the other tests that they perform are normal this time. So I get that call, say, hey, so far everything's good. All right. Well, they go, you know what? This doesn't make sense. We're going to transport him up to Children's Memorial Hermann. Since he's 16, he needs to get in front of the feeds guys. Let's figure out what's going on. So they put him in an ambulance and I'll take it. So this is work. Our system is work. I expedite him, they get him, he needs a different level of care than what they can provide, off they go, the way we have it worked flawlessly. Okay, so he gets to the medical center. Now at this point, I've been told he's okay. I haven't heard that they transported him. My guy that I was talking to went off duty. Okay, so they do an MRI of his brain with contrast, come in and say, you've had a stroke. 16-year-old kid, no history, no issues, stroke. Okay, it's affecting C4, C5, and C6. Okay, here is his MRI. Can you see the stroke? The answer is pretty much no, and I'm going to show it to you. There it is. That little bitty area of white right there. That's it. I went through this about 40 times on my own and could never find it, knowing where to look, and took it to one of the radiologists there at the Iron Man, and they showed it to me in about 20 seconds. But that's what they get paid to do. So there it is. All right, this one I have no clue what I'm looking at, but it's a really cool picture. And that's one of his studs. So I just threw that in there. Dude, that's pretty neat. I may make that a screensaver. So let's look at stroke by the numbers, because this is not something that's on my radar before that day. Okay, there's kind of three types. There's a ischemic stroke and a hemorrhagic stroke, and we're going to get to the other. Okay, 3/4 of all strokes is an ischemic stroke, and that's the clot. Okay. Usually hypertensive, you're diabetic, you're a smoker. He's none of those. The kid had never had blood drawn that he could remember until he went to the ER. Picture of health. All right. 4.7 out of every 10,000 in males. And up to 46% in ages 15 to 34. It's becoming more common now. All right. And a hemorrhagic is your ruptured vessel in the brain. Okay. The third type of stroke is what they call a cryptogenic stroke. And in essence, that's a stroke of unknown cause. That's his. You had a stroke, we don't know why. You don't have, you know, clots. You don't have atherosclerosis. You don't have this. You don't have that. We don't know why. All right? So I go see him in the hospital. He's in great spirits. The only thing remaining of all the symptoms, he's got a little blurred vision. So they had talked about he's probably going to have to wear a little pirate patch. He was going to bling it up for school. We were going to put a skull and crossbones on him. But he was doing really good. Mom was great. She comes and gives me a hug and says, thank you, and said, did you bring the paperwork for me to sign? So I thought that was pretty good. They were all happy knowing what he had had and where they were hopefully going to go from there. They didn't know why at the time, like I said. They thought, discharge an outpatient, test him to figure this out. Okay? The only thing they gave him in the hospital, besides some electrolytes in his IV for the dehydration, was a baby aspirin to death. That's it. No other meds. No clot busting meds. They didn't have a stroke with a clot, but they didn't know why. No issues. Just the baby aspirin. Right? So now the inpatient testing circus begins for him. He doesn't get to go home yet. This was on a Sunday morning when I saw him. They kept him in, and they started testing. They did ECGs. They did echocardiograms. They did MRIs to look at DVTs and PEs, pulmonary embolism, CT scans, all kinds of stuff, and we have a winner. He's got an atrial septal defect. All right, so what is that? More to the point, it's what's called a patent foraminal ovale. He's got a hole in his heart, but not just any hole. All right, so earlier he talked about different cardiac issues. These are the ones that we have to worry about on our paperwork for PPEs. Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, coronary artery abnormalities, commotio cordis, Marfan's, Wolf Parkinson White, long QT, recreational drug use is one of those that can affect the heart. He ain't got any of those. Alright? So we gotta go back to anatomy class real quick. So, here's our heart. How does it circulate? Superior via cava to the right atrium, through the tricuspid valve, into the right ventricle, through the pulmonary valve, into the pulmonary artery, into the lungs, left atrium, left ventricle, aorta, rest of the body. This is important to know because it explains what he had and why it happened the way it did. So what's a PFO? We know it's a hole in the heart, but really it's more like a flat valve. Think of it like a commode, in essence, when you flush. It only opens during certain conditions when there's more pressure inside the chest. Okay, the increased pressure occurs when people strain, like having a bowel movement, cough, or sneeze. They think when he wrapped up this kid to tackle him, he was doing a vasodilator maneuver, took him to the ground, and blew the clot through. That's the only thing they can figure out. Okay? So if the pressure's great enough, blood travels from the right atrium to the left. If there's a clot on the right side, it's going to blow it through to the left and out to the heart, to the brain for a stroke, or into an artery causing a heart attack. Okay? He had the stroke. If you look up here, put the pointer somewhere. So here's a little schematic of it. That's right there. That's showing how it flaps and allows that blood or that clot to go through there. Okay? Let's look at them by the numbers. You're in about 25% of the population. Okay? So a quarter of you may have this in general, maybe not even know it. Okay? You're a patient that had a stroke of unknown causes, that cryptogenic stroke, your prevalence of having a PFO is 40%. So when I'm going through his medical records, after they get the diagnosis of a stroke, one of the peds neurologists that comes in, I'm trained in deciphering physician handwriting, writes in his chart, echo for PFO. So as soon as he saw the stroke, he went, the dude's 16, can't be your typical stroke. He already said this is probably his cause. Right? And anybody under 55 is probably more of a cardiac abnormality than a true stroke issue. Okay, now, public service announcement. I'm that guy. I paid dearly for it. If you do not back up your data on your computer, do so. My hard drive crashed and I lost a bunch of stuff. But everything I had, especially some of this research, I brought him up. So I cannot reference this slide as to where I got this information. And I couldn't find it the second time. But in one of the articles I was looking at, 40% of those suffering from a migraine with the associated aura have been shown to have a PFO and therefore increased stroke risk. In talking to his mother, he would complain of headaches. Now, what I consider a migraine, and you consider a migraine, and PCPs consider a migraine, and neurologists consider a migraine, they're all different. Okay? But if you think about it for a minute, how many kids do we have come in always having a headache? At some point, you tell them, go get looked at. I'm not saying panic and send them all to go get a cardiac workout and freak their parents out, but maybe there is something to some of those kids. So how do we find this PFO? You're not typically going to pick it up through a stethoscope. Not going to be seen on an ECG. Okay? You can only find it by an echo, typically after you've had a stroke. Okay? Or autopsy. This is one of those few times that I can argue and say athletics saved somebody's life. In my opinion, if his heart rate hadn't been going as fast as it was, maybe he was just lifting weights and something happens, he's maxing, blows his spot through. What if he's driving down the freeway when all this happens? He might have been a statistic. So I think, you know, athletics played a huge role. I know this is an echo. I don't know what I'm looking at. When I look at the stuff off his records, I had no clue, so Google is a good thing. But you can see the little bit of break right here. That's the PFO, that's the hole in his heart. So what do we do about it? Okay. Well, if it's at birth, he closed it. How do you know you have it at birth? They're born a blue baby, basically. They look like a smartphone. Okay? They know right then this is what's going on with this kid. But you may not know about it then. But if you do know about it, you know what they tell you? If it's less than 5 millimeters, we're just going to watch it unless you have a stroke, and then we're going to close it. Okay? The risk the risk reward isn't right to close it under 5 millimeters without any issues. It's over 5, we're going to close it. His was 8. Okay? If my math is correct, that's about 1/5 to 1/6 of the width of the septum. That's a pretty significant chunk of that it took up for this flap. All right? So closing is really, really cool. It's down in the cath lab. It's a little thing like this. So they snake it through, pop out one side of it, pull it back, suck it up against one side of the defect, okay? Come back on the other side of the defect, push out the other one, and kind of cinch it in place. And they close that hole and it kind of scars around, and life is good. And that's what his looks like right there. So that's in between the septum on both sides. There's a septum, they close it that way. So he's doing fine. He played soccer. He's not going to play football anymore. The risk of a blow to have something happen to him is too great. Great kid. But what are the take-home messages besides shut up and get off the stage, though? Trust your gut. You know something's not right. Don't jack around with it. Let's go get it taken care of. I've got a big gut. I need to trust him more. All right? CPR, AED training, and all that other training that we have to do and our coaches have to do, it matters. It really, really matters. I kind of went, stroke, old people, fast, get matched. Okay? Sometimes we got to brush up on that stuff that's not real sexy. This isn't real sexy. I don't really honestly care about how the blood flows through the heart. I've been called heartless. It doesn't matter to me. We all like at least I like the other stuff. We got to pay attention to these items. Okay? Our emergency action plans matter. They have one. They did what they were supposed to do on that campus. It worked. Fast, real quick. You kind of look at fast and say, well, he didn't have all the symptoms. And talking to the specialist afterwards, they say if they've got one symptom, you send it. One of the other tests they talk about now is have them stick their tongue out. If their tongue is midline and straight, in line, they're probably okay. If it goes off to one side or the other, there's an issue there. You need to think stroke and get them evaluated. When I talked to the attending physician in the ER, I said, did you think stroke? He went, no, I thought that he had some kind of bleed or some aneurysm or a tumor. I never thought stroke in a 16-year-old kid. Because, that's why it's like down in my hands of taking to somebody, that deals with these all the time. And that's it. Thank you very much.
We're right here with Bubba Wilson. He's going to talk about we're having a little conversation about a case study, and I need Bubba to explain that to us. So this is Bubba Wilson from Memorial Army.
In essence, the case study is in one of my schools that I deal with, had a 16-year-old football player have a stroke on the football field, which was it's obviously uncommon in a 16-year-old. And ultimately, the reason for his stroke was he had a cardiac abnormality, a hole in the septum of his heart. That's what caused it.
So you had a hole in his heart?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there was no way to detect it.
There are two ways to detect, three. In essence, to give a background, 25% of the population probably has this defect. But the hole is small enough that it doesn't affect you. And typically that number is under 5 millimeters. Now, you can be born what I call the blue baby, where the baby looks like a Smurf or it's oxygenated. They know those babies have this defect and they're not oxygenated, so it needs to be fixed. But that 25% of the population that has it, may not know it, their defect hasn't been a problem. Okay? And he had this defect. His ultimate was 8 millimeters once they found it, and they had to close it. Anything over 5, they can close. Under 5, they watch. And if you have symptoms, and they go, okay, this is problematic and we need to close this. But anybody under age 55, roughly, that has a stroke, in all my research on this, they have a high suspicion of this type of defect being the cause of that stroke.
So this child, or this young man, or is it a young man?
Yeah, 16-year-old.
16-year-old man. So what happened to him as far as having the stroke?
Basically, no medical issues. Until he had gone to the ER, he basically couldn't recall ever having blood drawn. He was at second day of football practice in pads, made a tackle, got up and was dizzy, and started having blurry vision and a little tingling on his trap. Coach calls me, I go and see him and evaluate him. And honestly, he also had a little facial droop by the time I saw him. I thought stroke immediately, but then they kind of go, he's 16. My mom has strokes, not 16-year-olds. And so I go through the stroke eval, which is FAST, which is the acronym is FAST, which is face, arm, speech, and time. Well, he had the facial droop, but he could raise his arms and hold them up. He could speak. We could understand exactly what he was saying. And time is of the essence, but I wasn't panicked on time at that point. So it's like he's got 25% of the stroke signs. Well, come to find out, if they have one of the three signs, they need to go get evaluated. But, these are things you learn after that. Didn't change it because I still sent him to be evaluated. Went to Memorial Hermann Southeast, and they started the workup and realized he needed higher level of care, so they sent him to Children's Memorial Hermann up in the medical center, and got there, they did further testing, did an MRI, found out he had a stroke. It's interesting, reading the medical records in the hospital, the neurologist that saw him after the stroke made a notation they needed an echocardiogram for this PFO. So the two ways to get back to it, the two ways to know is you either get an echo or they find it on autopsy. And you can't do it with this, you can't find this with a stethoscope, with listening, and it's not going to show up on an ECG. So you've got to be able to visualize the heart muscle and see this defect.
So being an athletic trainer and being pre-physical,
right?
This is kind of scary.
Well, it is, but...
Because there's no way a doctor can just listen to the heart.
No, but you can't, even if you do, as we all know, if you do a physical, you're not going to catch everything.
That's
you
right.
Can do an ECG, it's not going to catch every cardiac abnormality. Right. And, and he had a big defect. What if his defect is small? Maybe it doesn't show up. I don't know. I don't understand that. But there's still a lot of unknown that we don't know. And I think it boils
down. But did this kid survive?
Yes, did fine. Got his, did fine.
Is he playing?
Yeah, he had the test done to find the hole in the heart and a couple other things. look for everything else, you know, worry about clocks.
You said they repaired it?
They actually went a month later and repaired the hole, which is a pretty interesting way to do it. They go in the cath lab and snake a thing and pop it out kind of like an umbrella, pull back to the other side of the septum and pop out another one that kind of cinch them down tight and closes that hole.
So did you get to see this?
I didn't see the procedure, but I have the images.
Images?
Yeah. So it's pretty neat. He did fine. He played soccer this year. He's a musician. That's doing fine. They would let him be the holder in football, but the risk of him getting a hit to the chest or something back to the head to have a problem is pretty high right now. And so the risk is less with soccer. It's still there, but you know, it's kind of one of those that we can mitigate some of this. And so he's just going to play soccer senior year and, you know, work on his
so
academics.
Would he wear like
no, he didn't. He didn't have to wear anything.
No. Okay. Well,
because of the fact that, you know, he didn't have a cranial bleed, it was a cardiac abnormality they could fix. It's just we're still early in the healing in the grand scheme of things. So it's like, you know,
yeah. Let's so be basically, safe. From the study or from what you're getting is that, so if you do your fast symptoms of a kid with a stroke or anything, any one of those symptoms,
any one of them,
send them.
Right.
Don't hesitate. Just
right.
Send them.
And then, as I said in there, in some of the stuff I was looking up, they're now saying just have them stick their tongue out. Their tongue should be in a straight line. If it's off correct, to one side,
yeah.
You know, then that's another sign. And it's not the hole, it's one of those.
Yeah,
you know,
it's one of those. Yeah.
Facial droops and well, it could be Bell's palsy, but that's not my decision to determine.
Right. We don't make
you know, what's his arms? He can't hold one arm up, but he can do the other, so it doesn't matter. So, you know,
yeah.
If they got all three, it's like, nah, I think that's bad, you know.
Yeah,
so,
most nothing coming up or anything. Well, I don't have any questions
sure.
on that.
Easy
that
enough.
Was a pretty simple one. But we just want to thank Memorial Hermann for this update, Bubba, and the Pasadena broadcast. Sure. Well, and Bubba Wilson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on, Bubba.